Praise God. I want to read from the book of Mark, chapter number 4. And then we're going to skip over to Romans 16. But in Mark chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 10, the Bible said that when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and said unto, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing you may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. In the book of Romans chapter number 16, Romans 16 beginning at verse number 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Praise God. And I kind of want to talk today about the mysteries. Jesus looked at his disciples and he told them, when they asked him concerning the parable, he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And then Paul wrote to the Roman church and he said that him that is, he is a, that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept since the world began. And I want to preach here this morning about religion. Amen. Religion. Amen. Very, very simple. Religion. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you and we need you here this morning. Praying, God, that your word would be manifest amongst us and would be alive today in our midst. God, that your word would speak to us and deal with us and help us here today. Father, we can do nothing without you. We lean upon you and we rest in you. Pray in God that your perfect and divine will would be accomplished amongst us, God. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive it, Lord. God, you know those that will hear this word, God, and I'm praying for them, God, that revelation and enlightenment would come unto them, Lord, that we would be able to understand, God, and having understanding that they would be ready to be obedient to your word today. And we love you and praise you and give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. There are numerous mysteries throughout the Bible that are spoken of. Some are only referred to. Others are dealt with more in depth. And the unique thing, the interesting thing about a mystery is that it has the capacity to be solved if one gives themselves to understanding the mystery. It does not have to be unknowable. It does not have to remain a mystery in their life. And yet there are many things in many areas of life that people are content to allow these situations and such just to be mysteries unto them. Amen. And there are the unsolved mysteries. There are the criminal mysteries that remain unsolved. And there are people that are dedicated to taking these cold files and bringing them back up and trying to solve them. Because if they were committed, then there is an answer. If somebody did wrong and hit it, then there is something. And there can be the perfect mystery, the perfect crime. I am mesmerized by some of these that seem to be the perfect crime. One that I was, I won't say close to, but we were in close proximity to, just in location, but was the death of JonBenet Ramsey. and that little girl that was killed. And there have been those that have even stepped up and admitted and say that they did it. And they have been proven to be wrong, that they didn't have all of the answers and such. And but it just seems to be that the individual that committed the crime created a perfect crime. But one of these days, somebody is going to visit a cold file and somebody is going to apply themselves to understanding the mystery of the death of that little girl. And they're going to find something, reckon upon something that they did not understand or that they did not see. Several weeks ago or a few weeks ago, Mike and Sarah came over to the house, and with the help of Marcus and my wife and myself, we sat down and we did a cold file case mystery. And so we were given a file, and we opened that file up and we began to examine it and began to look through that, finding and trying to prove where one guy that was held for murder, that he did not commit it. And so as we began to go through the pictures and read all of the little things, and each of us were reading different things, and I happened to stumble upon a newspaper article. And in that newspaper article, there was just an article of that a bridge was closed. And so I brought this up, and we were able to work from there. And then from there, it was we moved on to the next step of the case and reading and perusing through again, and somebody else found something that gave us a hint into the solving of the mystery. And we were able to get into the last part of it. And while some minds were stumped and it just seemed like we couldn't get through it, I think it was Marcus brought up something, and he said, well, this individual said such and such. And my wife immediately caught it, and she said, whoa, what is that? And he said, well, it was this. And said, okay, that's not the truth, because in this picture, it is thus and thus. And so I won't reveal all of it to you in case you're going to go play the game sometime or another and you'll have the understanding of it. But we solved the mystery. We solved the mystery. And it wasn't one. I found one clue. Who else found another clue? Micah, y'all found a clue. Marcus had a clue. We all put in. We all had a part in solving this mystery. No one person solved this mystery. But the mystery had one answer. And so through all of our diligence and looking at different things and going back and reviewing things again and shedding different light upon it after different truths came about it, we were able to solve the mystery. And the Bible teaches us that there are many mysteries throughout the Bible. There, in this particular setting, the Bible teaches us that Jesus spoke in parables so that it would be a mystery unto all of those that heard it. And he simply said that it was a mystery unto them that are without, that seeing that they may not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand. And somebody would ask, well, why would Jesus not want them to see, to hear, and or to understand? Or may not, he doesn't want them to perceive and to understand, lest they should be converted. Isn't it his will that they should be converted? And so we put it into the proper frame of time, and we realize that the gospel was not yet completed because that he had not yet died. And so the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, still needed to remain a mystery unto them. And so he spoke to them concerning the mystery of the sower that went out to sow, and how that he sowed upon four different grounds. And the disciples were confused by it and began to question and said, what meaneth this parable? And so the Lord began to explain it unto them, and they would be able to take the understanding of that parable, the answer to the mystery, to further their understanding and their knowledge as more information became available. such as Christ upon the tree and in the tomb and risen again and ascending up into glory. Paul began to explain concerning the mystery of the wild olive tree that would be grafted into the good olive tree, the natural olive tree, and concerning the Gentiles grafted into with the Jews, but into the church of the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 7 concerns the mystery of the wisdom of God. Ephesians 1 and 9 determines the mystery of His will. And Ephesians 6 and 19, he goes back to the mystery of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 4, there is the mystery of Christ. And then there is the mystery answered in Colossians 1 and 26. And then there is the mystery of iniquity that is paralleled or compared to the mystery of godliness. For the mystery of iniquity was the manifestation of the enemy in the flesh, of rebellion in the flesh. And the mystery of godliness was God manifest in the flesh. And then Revelations 1 talks about the mystery of the seven stars. And so it is concerning the ministry. And so all of these things can be a mystery to everyone. But it is only unto the diligent that seeks understanding. Only to the one that seeks to have knowledge, that wants an answer to the mysteries that they would give themselves unto. And when you give these yourself unto these things, you will begin to understand that every one of these mysteries has an answer. Amen. We understand the mystery of the wild olive tree being grafted into the good one. We understand the mystery of the wisdom of God. Amen. Who was foreordained and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had the wisdom to know, to perceive, to understand, to put together the salvation of man. The mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ. Amen. The mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. All of these things, even the mystery of the ministry, the seven stars, are understandable. Praise God. And we can have that. But there is, through all of this, there is a perceived mystery. And that is concerning the mystery of the church. Amen. The church seems to be a mystery to many. And the sad thing is that too many people believe that they have the revelation and the understanding of the mystery. And the danger of that is that there are criminals that are arrested and put in prison for crimes that they did not commit because somebody jumped to a foreseen conclusion. Amen. There are people that are convicted of murder and people that have even been sent to death row because, amen, somebody come up with the wrong answer to the mystery. And then later when DNA analysis have been made and other things have been checked out, we understand that there are individuals that have been let out of prison that have spent 40, 50, 60 years, a lifetime in prison that have been found and proved to be innocent, that they are no longer considered the guilty. And some cases the guilty has been found and sentenced, and in other cases it opens back up a file and causes everybody to wonder again. And so the same is the sense with the church, that there is a perceived answer to the church. And the perceived answer just simply comes to a conclusion that if I go to church, then everything is okay with me. Amen. Church loses the power that it possesses, the ability to set mankind free that it has. has because of a perceived answer, because of a tradition. Amen. In that grandma and grandpa did this, and so by tradition I'm going to do such and such. Amen. By an appeasing of one's conscience, I'm going to go to church. But yet today there are churches everywhere across the world that are defined as a church and that are full of sinners. And we do not proclaim to be something that we are not. We are not prideful in our ways and such. We understand that we are sinners saved by grace, but we are also sinners that have been saved from our sins. And the perception, the perceived analysis of the church today is that I can go to church and yet remain in my sin. I can go to church and still live however that I want to live. I can go to church and still be an alcoholic. I can go to church and still be a drug addict. I can go to church and still cuss like a sailor. I can go to church and still live in adultery or still live in fornication. I can go to church and be immoral. I can go to church and do whatever that I want to do. Amen, friend of mine. You've got a misunderstanding of what church really is. It's still a mystery to you. Even as Paul said, that though we see through a glass darkly, there will come a time that every mystery is going to be understood. And for those that would state it is a mystery that cannot be understood, amen, there is going to come a time that your eyes are going to be enlightened, amen, that your senses are going to be brought forth to the front, that your understanding is going to be helped, and the mystery is going to be understood. Many have stated that the mystery of godliness is without understanding, but yet in the book of Romans chapter number 1, he says that even the Godhead can be understood, that they that are, amen, they are without excuse. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3 and Colossians chapter number 1 tells us that the mystery has already been answered. You don't have to wait till a time, but all the enemy wants to cause your mind to be dark with misunderstanding. The enemy wants to cause, amen, your mind to be full of questions, and for you just to appease a conscience, amen, of tradition concerning, I've gone to church and everything is okay. I want to talk to you today about religion. Oh, let's love him this morning. Amen, amen. From the very start, Satan recognized the threat of this mysterious body called the church, recognizing that it posed a danger to his empire of evil, and he determined to destroy it and to annihilate it. And for years he tried to stamp it out by the killing of the faithful saints of the Most High. And there was the first one, even Stephen, who was martyred. And the blood of the martyrs proved to be the seed of the church. Because every time it seemed like somebody was killed, the church got stronger and stronger. As bodies were planted into the ground, more came up out of death into righteousness. Amen. It's like just one seed. You can plant a cucumber seed, and you're going to get multiple cucumbers out of that seed. You can plant one okra seed, but you're going to get multiple pieces of okra from that, rather than just one. And it seemed like when one martyr went down, amen, there were other lives that sprang forward from that. Amen. The enemy did not understand it was was still a mystery to him, for he perceived that the church was made up of just ordinary people. Yet every time that they fell upon their knees, Satan's kingdom began to tremble and began to shake. And all of his principalities, his rulers, and his wicked spirits in high places, trying to prevent these people from breaking through to the throne room of God in the heavens, failed enormously. And all of his efforts, and so he figured that there was only one formidable thing that he could possibly do to destroy the church, and that was to corrupt it. And so he took the truth of God, and he found agents to deny it, and to distort it, and to debase it. And he altered a word here, and he took a little bit out there, and he added something in over here, and he attacked the word of God. He attacked the spirit of God. He attacked the plan and the will of God. And there in Colossae, he attacked the deity of Christ. And then came the additions that began to seep into the church, called intellectualisms and ritualisms and legalisms and mysticisms and asceticisms. And this was all over the head of the pastor of that assembly. And so he went to see Paul in a Roman prison, and he began to explain some things, and he said, I've taken a very dangerous agenda here to reach out to you, but I've got to have an answer, because the danger that I'm facing to come unto you, amen, is second to the danger that the church is facing in this day and time. I may be facing death, but what the church is facing is diabolical. And Paul was willing to help, and he picked up his pen and he began to write. And to Satan's horror, there was another divinely inspired, God breathed, inerrant, flawless, living, powerful epistle that was written and added to the word of God. Satan's biggest blunder, amen, was that he threw everything he had at the infant church by the way of error and deceit. And he forgot that God still had the apostolic apostles upon the face of the earth, able to write divinely inspired scriptures, able to expound the truth, and able to expose the error. Paul even wrote and said, Hymenaeus and Philetus, amen, have done some things that we don't agree with and we don't believe in. He called Alexander the coppersmith by name and said, you need to mark these individuals. Why? Because they're trying to destroy the church. Jude stood up, amen, with fervency, inspired by God, and he said, certain individuals have crept in among you, and they're filling your pulpits, they're filling your synagogues, they're filling your seminaries, and they are corrupting the word of God. Paul wrote to the church, and he said, even if an angel of light come and preach to you another gospel, which is not another gospel, let him be accursed. Why did he write that? Because it was going on. There were those that was changing the truth of God into a lie. But thank God that God was not just going to sit by and let that happen. He died for the church. He gave his life for the church. It was all for the church. And he put the church in the hands of humanity and said, I believe that you can keep the reason of the church. I want to talk to you about religion. Religion that doesn't work, but religion that can work. Religion that's just a tradition, but religion that doesn't have to be a tradition. You can have an experience in the house of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Revelation came. Inspiration of the Holy Ghost came. And so every possible distortion that hell, amen, could dream up has always been answered apostolically. Amen. The devil has new ideas. Amen. All that he can do now is just rehash. Amen. And juggle some bankrupt lies and hope that people don't know their Bibles well enough to see through them. But yet David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen. Hello, somebody. You got to get this in your heart. It's got to be more than head knowledge. I don't care if you can quote every book in the Bible. Amen. Every scripture in the New Testament. If it's not in your heart, it's not doing you any good. Amen. You've got to live this word. You've got to abide by this word. You've got to be obedient to this word. If you want the power of religion to help you, if you want to be set free from the sin that you're bound by, you've got to be obedient to the word of God. God's got something more for you than just attending a church somewhere. God's got something more for you than just a feeling. God's got something more for you than just tradition. Amen. And some people call it religion. But God says, I've got an experience for you. I've got an experience for you. It's called the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And Peter summed it up like this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's love him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking to people that have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power to deny ungodliness. Amen. Of people that are religious, but they still don't have the ability and the power to overcome a filthy mouth. Amen. People that go to church on a regular basis, but they're still in bondage by sin. Still in bondage. Amen. By all vices of sin. I don't care what governments have called it. God still calls it sin. I don't care what governments have allowed. God still calls it sin. And you're going to be bound in your sin. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came to save people from their sins. You don't have to live in sin anymore. You don't have to live in condemnation anymore. You don't have to live in the vices of hell anymore. You can be set free. You can live free. Amen. From the world. You can live free from the addictions of sin. You can be free with an experience of the Holy Ghost. Religion is just a mystery to too many. It's a mystery. They don't understand. They don't understand. They can't give an answer when questioned. If you are religious, then why do you still act the way that you act? If you're still religious, why do you still live the way that you live? Let me tell you something. Amen. Governments do not redefine the Bible. Time cannot define eternity. Money cannot buy time. And salvation is free, but it ain't cheap. All you've got to do to be saved is repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For that's what the Bible teaches. I know Satan has changed that. But because that Satan changes doesn't mean it's right. As a matter of fact, it ought to mean that it's wrong. And so governments have stepped in And governments have issued decrees. And governments will continue to issue decrees. But governments cannot change the word of God. Can't do it. It can't do it. Amen. Praise God. Let me just throw a little something at you. This may not make some people feel good, but yet it's still in the Bible. Amen. And truth will set you free. The Bible said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I don't care what governments say concerning divorce. That doesn't make it right in the Bible. Governments have said we can do no fault divorces. That's not what the Bible teaches. Governments have said that same-sex marriage is legal. That's not what the Bible teaches. It does not matter what the government allows. In God's eyes, there's still some things that have not changed. And so government may say they're divorced, but God says they're not divorced, they're just separated. Because in God's eyes, they're still married. Governments may say same-sex marriage, they're married. God says they're not married. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what judges state. I don't care what governments rule and vote in. In God's eyes, it's still the same thing. And sin will always be sin, even if it's categorized by a different name. Even if it's legalized, amen, by the rules of government. In God's word, the Bible teaches us that it is forever settled in heaven. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And that's what I have prayed. I said, God, I don't want to be just another Google reviewed church. I don't want to be just another church found on Google Maps. I don't want to be just another church found in the Yellow Pages. I don't want to be just another church in the city of Augusta. I don't want to be just another church on a different road somewhere in the community, in the county. I want to be an effective church. I want to be a life-changing church. I want to be a church that can make a difference. I want to be a church that when two come in and they're not married, they feel something's different about this place. They feel not right in their mind, in their spirit, and they begin to seek for answers. I want to be a church that when the alcoholic walks into this place, they feel the power of the Holy Ghost, not just ask if they want to accept Christ, but they run to an altar and say, God, I need you to forgive me and to wash me clean of my sins. I want to be an effective church. But you see, what religion has told people today is accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And you don't have the ability and the power to overcome your sin. But God's grace is sufficient for you and you're an overcomer. That's not Bible. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by grace through faith in His Word. You got to get in His Word. You got to believe that repentance is going to do something for you. You got to believe that baptism is going to do something for you. You got to believe that God is going to save you and set you free from your sins. And if you believe like the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Religion says you're saved. You still cuss like a sailor, but you're saved. Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What I'm telling you is you can be dead to sin. You can be set free from sin. You don't have to live the same way that you've always lived. You don't have to live in bondage.
You don't have to live with a mystery in your mind. You don't have to live with this world's definition of what religion is. You can live with the way that God designed it to be. For the Bible said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why your life is miserable. That's why you have no peace. That's why you are not happy. That's why you are frustrated. That's why you are stressed out. That's why, amen, you are at your wit's end, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't have an answer, and I'm just going to go to another church on another street and do what grandma did. Honey, you don't need religion. You need an experience, and I'm here to offer you that experience. Hey, amen, you've tried the world's definition. I'm asking you to try Jesus. I'm asking you to come unto him and to repent of your sins and to give your life to God and to be set free from all of your sin. Let's stand and love the Lord here today. Oh, let's love him, let's love him, let's love him today. And as we progress and begin to move through the remainder part of this service and they begin to play music, I want the church to continue to pray. But I want to go back to my text here today. And I want to explain to you the mystery of religion. The mystery of religion. For Jesus said that there was a sower that went forth to sow. And he said that the seed was the word of God. The seed was the word of God. And the ground was the world. And the sower began to see the word, sow the word of God. He began to invite and began to witness and began to tell people about God. And Jesus said there were four types of grounds. In other words, there were four types of hearers. It was a mystery. But Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what the mystery means. He said there was a seed that fell upon the stony ground. And the root wasn't able to break that penetrate that hardened heart. Those people hardened their hearts against God and refused to believe and to accept the word of God. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to be broken. And Jesus would later say that it was a broken and a contrite spirit that he would not refuse. And he said, if you will humble yourself and let yourself be broken in his presence, that he can move upon you. He said, otherwise the rock would fall upon you and that you would be broken and ground to pieces. It's the mystery revealed. But it fell among the rocks. And the thorns didn't present a way for the word of God to grow. People refused to allow the word of God to grow in their heart. People refused to listen, to take heed. They refused to believe it. Well, I don't believe that's what that means, hardened hearts. Well, I don't believe that for today, hardened hearts. You keep trying to believe it your way. Where has it gotten you thus far? There's no change. He said, some fell among the thorns. And he said, the thorns came and choked it out. Some fell among the thorns. And the thorns came and choked it out. Some fell by the wayside. They had heard Satan immediately took the word away from them. Before they could allow it to get into their heart, they found somebody and said, hey, guess what I heard today?
Guess what I read today? Guess what I heard today? I heard this and this. And somebody says, oh, that's not what that means. Oh, you don't have to do that. Oh, that's rules and restrictions. Oh, that's... And they take the Word of God, the hope of the Word of God away before it ever has a chance to grow. Stony ground, no root. Among the thorns, they that hear the Word of God, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things chokes it out. You don't have time for God's Word. You're too bound with your own tradition. You're too bound by your own riches. You're too bound by your own ways. And the cares of life choke it out. But he said there was a good ground. There was a good ground. And the seed that fell upon that good ground took root. And it grew. And it produced fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Isn't that what you want your life to be? You want your life to be fruitful. You want your life to give, to spring forth, to live. This is how it's done. Religion on stony ground doesn't work. Religion in the thorns doesn't work. Religion by the wayside doesn't work. But he that hears the Word of God and receives it says, you know what? This is not me, but this is right. You know, this goes against everything that I've ever believed, everything that I've ever held to. But this is right. They allow the seed of God's Word to penetrate their heart. And the tears of repentance begins to water that seed. And the tree begins to spring forth and begins to produce fruit. Friend, that's more than religion. That's an experience. It's something that only God can do. For except that the seed of just a grain of corn fall into the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. And so you've got to die at an altar. Die out to sin. God, I'm sorry for everything that I've done wrong. I'm sorry for my misconceptions. I'm sorry for my wrong thinking, wrong ways and actions. I'm sorry for all of my sins. I'm sorry for everything that I've done wrong. I want an experience. I want an experience. And the God of heaven's ready to give you that experience. For he said, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, come. Come unto me. And so I'm opening up this altar here this morning and bidding you to come today. Would you come? I've tried everything else. Would you come today? You're not confessing the Lord. You're not just believing on the Lord. You're not just accepting the Lord. You're getting an experience. But you've tried all those other things. You've tried believing on the Lord, accepting the Lord, confessing. You've tried them all. Your life hasn't changed. I believe that morally you can be a good person, but still involved in sin. Said, Pastor, my definition of sin and your definition of sin is two different things. It doesn't really matter what our definition of sin is. What matters is what the Bible states. That's what matters. That's what matters. And so I'm asking you today to forget about what I say. Forget about what I believe. Forget about what you perceive that I believe. Let's just get an experience with a Savior. Let's get more than just religion. For the mystery of religion is at work amongst us under the guise of the mystery of iniquity. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek him while he may be found. Hallelujah. As he bids you and calls you and draws you today, let the Lord touch you. Let the Lord help you today. Praise God. Oh, let's talk to him this morning. Let's talk to him.